How can we teach our children that we're all created equal and loved by God? How can we model an appreciation, love, and respect for diversity?
We'll discuss this and other questions from viewers today on Real Family Talk. Join us. On Real Family Talk today, we are answering questions from viewers like you. Here's our first question.
Here's the question now. I want to teach my children that we're all created equal and loved by God, but how can we help our children embrace that when we live in a discriminating and racially biased society?
Wow, this is a really great question and such a thoughtful question. And this question, undoubtedly, many families are finding themselves trying to answer in the world that we currently live in. Though there have been many victories in this area, there are still instances where society tends to regress and discriminatory mindsets arise. And this is not just towards one group of people or one area of the world. Instead, biases and stereotypes are widespread. It is important for our children to understand that though they see adults exhibiting certain thought patterns or actions based on someone's outward features, this is not God's plan, nor is it God's way.
And a lot of this is happening these days, you know. We tend to vilify people, refugees, people who are running from political hardship and war and different things. We treat them differently as if they're less than, and they really are created in God's image and our brothers and sisters. As Christian parents, we have both an opportunity and responsibility to teach our children how to appreciate, how to love the beautiful diversity of God's children. Our role as parents is critical in helping children of all ages develop positive attitudes about race and diversity, to develop skills to promote a more just future here on earth and as we look forward to living with God in heaven. But we have to talk about it. That's the first and most important step to take to help our children embrace and understand diversity.
You know, sometimes as adults, we tend to worry that talking about race will encourage racial bias in children. But the opposite is true. When it comes to issues of race or discrimination of any kind, silence is not golden. You know, and we often say to people that it would be as if we looked at a bouquet of flowers and there were different colors, and we see every color. We see the pink rose, we see the white rose, we see the daisy, we see a yellow daisy, what are the colors we
the
might
various,
have?
The red rose.
The red rose.
Yes. And then we don't talk about it. We just say, oh, they're just roses.
Right.
You know,
but we want to express the beauty of this
each
bouquet.
Individual.
Absolutely.
Flower.
And that's what we're talking
yes.
about when we talk about race and diversity and cultural differences. As children grow, they tend to learn about racial differences and biases from their very first teachers, who are their parents. And they learn from their parents how to deal with and to react with these differences. And what we also know is that from a very early age, children begin to see differences.
And how we interact with difference.
And that's correct.
They hear it in the tone of our voice. They see it in the expression of our faces when certain people come around that are different than we are. And they get cues from their parents as to how to treat those individuals.
And so imagine what a difference we could make is if when this 6-month-old or 9-month-old or 1-year-old baby recognizes, oh, this person has white skin or brown skin, or this person wears a turban on their head or a long gown or whatever, and their parents embrace these people.
That's
that
right.
Child learns that I recognize your difference and I value it,
and it's
still
okay.
love you.
And it's okay.
And still embrace you.
Yes.
So interestingly, learning about racial bias is similar to learning a new language in the same way that there is a critical early learning period determined by biology for learning a new language. It is important for children to learn how to properly deal with racial bias and appreciate diversity earlier rather than later.
As you realize that it's inevitable that your children will face and detect race-based differences, make sure to talk to your children and acknowledge that these racial distinctions and biases do exist. Also, confront your own biases and model how you want your children to behave and respond to others who may be different from them. And speaking about difference, it's not only about race, it's body type, tall, short, big, small. We all have biases about certain people. And we need to check ourselves since we are children of God and modeling for our children. Finally, encourage your children to challenge racial, cultural stereotypes and racial or cultural biases by being kind and compassionate when communicating with people of all racial, ethnic, and cultural groups. That will convey to them that everyone is valued, that everyone is special in God's sight.
We also want to instill in our children that no matter what we see around us, we are to make God and His Word our standard and stand up for His principles. As you make God and His teachings the center of your life and family circle, be sure to bring in biblical principles and point out God's impartiality when reading Bible texts and stories as a family. Here are a few Bible texts to get you started. Genesis 1, 26 to 28, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. The only distinction God made was between male and female.
Isn't that a wonderful Bible text?
Love it.
To describe God's attitude to humankind.
How amazing is
to
God?
To the human race, male and female, created in the image of God. The image of God is male and female.
Both.
So they're equal in God's sight, not because we say so, but because God said so. His Word says so. Male and female, that's the image of God. That's the likeness of God. And it's all precious in His sight. Because after all, in creation week, when He made everything, He called it good. In fact, He called it very good. And if God calls male and female good, in fact, very good, it means we need to approach men and women with the same regard and respect.
And it's important for us to understand that we're not pushing any type of agenda. We're just going with the Word of God.
Reading directly from the Word. And it says more. What else does it say?
Okay, so James 2, 8 to 9 says, "If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well, but if you show partiality, you commit sin."
There again, we see a clear word from God. If you treat people with partiality, forgetting that they're your neighbors, you commit sin. This is God's word saying that you should treat everyone the same.
All right. Proverbs 22:2 says, "The Lord is the maker of them all." And 1 John 2:2 says, "Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world."
So it means then that God gave His only Son to die for the entire world, regardless of where they're from the global north, from the global south, from the Americas, from Europe, Africa, Asia, Oceania, everywhere, we're all precious in His sight. We'll be right back after a short break with more questions from viewers like you. Stay with us. On today's edition of Real Family Talk, we're answering questions from viewers like you. Here's the next question.
Often we encounter uncomfortable situations where people are not treating each other respectfully, but I don't always talk about it with my kids because I guess I'm embarrassed. But then I feel like I send them mixed messages about how we should or should not treat others. How can I make sure I'm not unknowingly condoning a racist, discriminatory attitude to my kids?
Great question, and an important one. Very similar to the first one. When we encounter uncomfortable situations, it's easy to want the situation to go away as quickly as possible and thus avoid or ignore it altogether. However, when it comes to situations where someone is being treated differently or disrespectfully, silence is often the worst thing that can be done.
Absolutely. And we were saying that for the first question.
Yes.
In the first part where we were talking about the fact that silence is not golden, that we do have to talk about this. We recognize that talking about race is difficult for most adults and even more difficult to have that conversation with children. Still, we must find ways to first educate ourselves with serious diversity training, then engage in meaningful conversations about race and diversity with our children, because children will learn from our spoken or unspoken messages. Silence about difference reinforces racism and prejudice and bias by letting children draw their own conclusions based on what they see around them. There are many studies that show that by kindergarten, children show many of the same racial attitudes that adults in our culture hold. So changing your attitude and behaving equally towards all people would positively influence your child to treat all people the same.
That's true. And while changing your attitude can have a significant impact, having direct conversations with our children about race are important. Of course, an age-appropriate way to introduce conversations about race is by the visual images around our home, such as pictures, books, and toys. Children are very visually oriented and often absorb their values from pictures and other things around their homes. It is important then for children to experience a variety of cultures, skin colors, racial features, and diverse images that communicate feelings of acceptance.
Usually your child may ask more questions. This is a good time to talk about family values and what your family stands for. Remind your child that your family does not tolerate bad treatment of anyone, and especially not because of the color of their skin. Ask them, would you like someone to treat you badly because of the color of your skin, or the color of your hair, or the color of your eyes? Remind them that the Bible says, love one another as I have loved you. And that's found in John 15:12.
As a parent, you may be wondering if having conversations about race can traumatize children. From a therapeutic perspective, the resounding answer is no. What does traumatize children is discrimination, seeing someone being harmed or treated poorly because of their skin color or their race or culture, or because of what they're wearing, and not seeing anyone do anything about it. It is during these times that as a parent, you have a tremendous opportunity to make a difference and spark change in your children.
You should also discuss fairness with your children and teach them to intervene if they see injustice and prejudice, if it is safe to do so. Otherwise, they can report it to a responsible adult. At the same time, make sure that you model the same behavior by not ignoring seemingly benign comments from friends and family members that belittle people of other races, cultures, ethnicities, or other things that they eat or do, or traditions that they have.
That are different than
yours. That are different than your own.
Yes. You know, as you go on this journey of life to raise sound-minded and biblically sound children, filled with the love of Jesus for others, regardless of their race, keep the following points in mind. Number one, check in with your child. Ask your children what they know, what they've seen, and how they're feeling. Tell them you understand how they may be feeling and validate the feelings and emotions they may be experiencing. Limit what your child sees in the media. Avoid leaving the TV on in the background. With other children and teens, you should watch with them and talk together about what you're seeing. Give careful attention to their observations and share your own perspective on what's taking place. With younger children, limit TV watching and smartphone or tablet use, especially when the news is on. Make sure that whatever media they are consuming is occurring in the common areas of your home where you can easily and readily check on them. Be aware of your own emotions as an adult. It's vital to tune into how you're feeling and ensure that you're okay and modeling behaviors you are okay with your own children exhibiting. Take advantage of the right resources. Good resources can be very helpful. If you find yourself having difficulty finding the right words to share with your children during these times, don't be afraid to use good books or other resources that might help you communicate effectively about this topic with your children. You know, it's really difficult to deal with these issues because they're so personal and so ingrained. And so we have to be careful and mindful and pray to God every day that He will give us His love and His peace and His patience and kindness with everyone, always remembering the two great commandments: love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. And your neighbor can look like anyone from any place who speaks any language and eats any food. So we need to be careful that we are in fact modeling for our children the best behavior that represents the image of God. Stay with us as we continue to answer questions from viewers like you. Real Family Talk will be right back. Stay with us.
On today's edition of Real Family Talk, we're committed to answering questions from viewers like you. Here's our next question.
My teenagers are driving me crazy. I thought that by now, their ages 13 and 15, they would be much more responsible. As a single parent, I have been working two jobs to make ends meet. I provide them with a roof over their heads, food on their table, clothes on their backs, and a good school for them to get an education. Will they ever turn into responsible adults? What a question.
Indeed. Well, you know, first of all, we want to acknowledge your feelings and frustration and hopelessness, especially as a single parent trying to do so much on your own for your children. So we want to first say, don't give up. There is hope and all is not lost. Parenting is hard work. It is even more challenging when you're trying to do it alone. At the same time, parenting teenagers is one of the most trying periods of parenting stages.
The truth is, the behavior your teenagers are displaying is developmentally appropriate for their age. While they look more like an adult than ever before, they aren't quite fully developed yet. This includes their reasoning and decision-making skills. Though you may feel like giving them a piece of your mind, this will do little to help and accomplish what you're trying to instill in them. We'll share a few approaches you can take to help them become more responsible. Number one, develop clear expectations collaboratively. Ensure that your teenagers understand what is expected of them. What must they do? What specific behaviors should they avoid? What consequences will result if they behave irresponsibly?
Number two, teach your teens time management skills. Time management plays a significant role in responsible behavior. The best way to do this is to model time management. If you're frequently late or disorganized, your teen will follow in your footsteps. Make sure they are part of the planning process.
Number three, model consideration and empathy. Consideration and empathy will help your teens to be thoughtful, polite, and observant, as well as responsible. Consideration means being aware of others' emotions and responding appropriately. This will help them treat others with respect while also being less self-centered and feeling more duty to responsibility.
Number four, help your teen develop emotional control or self-control. At this stage of their lives, many teenagers experience mood swings as they undergo huge changes physically, mentally, and emotionally. It's important for them to understand that all feelings are permissible, but not all actions are. So we need to help them differentiate between emotions so that they can behave responsibly even when experiencing negative feelings.
Number five, create a family culture of accountability. Help your teenager understand the value of accountability and make sure you model this behavior as well. Teach them and help them see that there is intrinsic value in doing the right thing, even if it is inconvenient.
Number six, encourage your teen to pursue self-directed goals. In order for your teenagers to behave responsibly in the long run, it must be something they choose to do, not something they feel forced to do. Empower your teens to set and achieve self-directed goals in different areas of their life. This will help them become self-motivated and responsible teenagers and adults who make wise choices. And sometimes this is very difficult for parents because they feel if they're not constantly nagging, then their child will never do it. But the opposite is actually true.
Indeed.
If you continually nag your child, they'll just wait for you to nag.
And they'll dismiss you.
And oftentimes kids are really smart. So a lot of parents, what they'll do is they'll ask their kids, let's say, to wash the dishes, and the dishes don't get washed, and they nag, and then they say, well, I'll just do it myself. Well, what do you think this little kid is going to say? Oh,
wait,
I'll just wait till mom washes
decides to
the
do
dishes
it herself. That's right.
Right? So we're creating a pattern with them. And so we really want to help our children to become self-directed and self-motivated, especially in their teens. But more than anything else, we encourage you to pray for patience, study God's word, study the ways of God and how He parents us, have regular family worship, which creates a safe, protective environment for your children and an opportunity for you to bond with them. See your children as God's precious children and gems and as works in progress. Truly, all of us are works in progress, and we each need God's grace every day. We have the opportunity to influence our children positively rather than destroying their self-esteem with negative energy.
Also, think about responding with love, just as God does with us when we mess up. Instead of getting angry and yelling and screaming and threatening or showing resentment and frustration, answer with patience, kindness, empathy, and more patience. The more patience you exercise while communicating with your children, the more deposits you will make in their emotional bank accounts, and the more currency and influence you will have with them while they are children, and even more so as they become adults.
As people who have parented children to adulthood, we want you to know we empathize with the current stage of parenting you are going through. We know how difficult this can be and how easy it is to want to give up by being punitive and harsh. However, take a deep breath and choose the loving approach. You will never regret it.
As you think about what we have shared today, we invite you to consider this counsel from 1 Peter 4:8 about doing things for God's glory, including raising responsible children and loving others who are different than us. The Bible says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins.
Thank you for watching Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.